Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are reaching back into the annals of history because we're going to talk about Thor: The Dark World.
You said annals.
All that and more right after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
My name is Matthew Carroll, but you can call me Jebediah today.
Yeah.
As Ashley noted, as soon as I hopped on the Zoom call, she's like, "You look very different."
I was like, "Oh, look at you."
For the listeners who are not getting a video view, Matt has shaved off his mustache.
Yeah. So I was trimming my beard yesterday, and I was stupidly not using a guard like I sometimes do, and I was just like doing it by hand, and my niece walked in and surprised me. I was like, "What?" And I turned my head and shaved off half my mustache.
Nice.
Like almost down to the skin, and I was like, "Dang." And so there was not much else to do except shave the rest down, and once I did that, it looked, I don't know, it didn't look right, and so I just ended up going completely shaved off, which now, like, I have a real Amish look, but it could be Wolverine. Like, it's very close to Wolverine.
It's so
a couple
close.
More, yeah, a couple yeah. more trims, and I could get a Wolverine look out of this.
A cigar yeah. so, and like, a pop leather coat.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah, just take the middle completely out.
Yeah, I did that for Halloween one year.
I remember. Old Man Logan.
I went and got a cigar.
Good.
And did an Old Man Logan look? Well, I went as Wolverine, but everyone said Old Man Logan,
oh,
so I guess I was that. Thanks, Ash. Thanks. I was just going for Wolverine. No, but also I haven't colored my beard this week, and so it is just like, after trimming it, it's just like stark white, too. So there's a
yeah.
real like Old Man Logan slash an Amish Logan.
Except for like right there under your lip, like you have a dark soul patch.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
And then the rest is like an Amish man fell into a bucket of bleach.
You churn in lots of butter, bub.
Yes, I am. Oh, man. So the reason I was getting my beard all trimmed up is I went to see Fallout Boy last night, and I became the Fallout Boy. I was in stadium seating at the very top of, you know, how they have those very high seats in the stadium seating at those arenas.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I fell down one and a half rows.
Ooh.
I got up and started dancing and having a good old time and getting down, dance, like you're doing that thing, and like straight up fell forward, lost my balance, fell forward, rolled down a couple of rows on this.
Oh my goodness.
It was like a nightmare. Like the thing you always worry about when you get up there, like, I better not fall. Like, but you never yep. do. I did. I fell.
You know why I never do? Because I don't stand up and dance up there.
I've done it. It's terrifying.
The song was Dance, Dance, Jeff. I could not dance.
Are you okay?
I'm very bruised, but I'm okay. I had a rough night for me, rough night for my mustache. Like, what can I say?
Oh, no, just going through it.
were there people in the way, or was it an empty stadium?
So, luckily, because I'm a big dude, I had scooted over to an area where right in front of me there were no people. Like, so the row right in front of me, there were three empty seats, because I kind of like to stretch my legs out, give me a little room if I need to, like, put my leg over the seat for a second, so I don't feel too confined.
Yeah.
So when I fell, I rolled into a row where there were no people immediately, but I definitely hit the girl to the right of me, and I started to roll into the next row, like, because, you know, just the inertia of falling down one, I started,
yeah.
but I caught myself, and I think I just sort of
snowball effect.
Yeah, I sort of bumped into, with the white beard especially, I was yeah. the snowball just rolling down the.
I'm so glad my camera's not working. As long as everyone's okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. Things are good.
You know, you probably wouldn't be so bruised if there had been people in front of you.
Yeah, I really would have liked. Honestly, though, no, that's what I felt terrible about. I was like, I'm so sorry. You guys okay? I was like laying there, laid out over across through all three seats, and I was like, hey, are you all right? Are you okay? Are you all right? And everybody's looking at me like, what are you talking about? You just fell. You fell down an entire row of these stadiums. It was like a good fall. Like
that. Oh, wow.
you're like, I'm paralyzed from the waist down, but are you guys okay?
Yeah, are you all right?
He's very caring. He's very caring.
How are you doing? I can't walk to help you, but I might be able to call for somebody.
I have a strong voice. Podcaster and singer. I can still use that. So that was my day.
So besides that, how was the concert?
Pretty good. It's always cool to go see bands. It was Jimmy Eat World and Fall Out Boy and some opening acts. And like, it's always good to see a bands that kind of have that cachet to put on a really big show with pyrotechnics and production. And,
oh, yeah.
Like, they had a puppet dog, like a dog head. It was like a Doberman Pinscher head that was, I'm sure it's somehow a symbol of one of their records or something. But
it's their most recent.
Okay. It was huge. And I mean, like, I don't know, 40 feet long from snout to ears, and there was someone puppeting it from under it. So there was on like scaffolding, and like it was moving around the stage and singing the songs with them and stuff. It was cool. It was cool.
That's awesome.
Giant puppet dog.
Yeah, the most recent album, So Much for Stardust, has a doggo on the cover.
Yep. They talked about Stardust a lot, but I didn't know what that was. I've not. There we kept go. Up
Full
on
circle.
Them.
Yeah.
Speaking of Stardust, let's talk about the beginnings of the cosmic MCU.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Before there was light, there was dark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's how legend starts.
Oh yeah. Good call.
The Tom Cruise movie?
Mm-hmm. There's a whole monologue opening. That's, well, you have to read it. What do they call that? A scroll.
Ah, fantasy movies in the 80s. They were there were problems with that, I think. There was a lot of like, here, read this novel to get ready for this movie.
Yeah. I don't know.
Highlander had the same kind of shit.
Star Wars, though. I mean, like, you know, it's there's good implementation of that and bad implementation of that, I guess.
Right, yeah. Like, Star Wars had a decent one because it was like, it was not a static thing. There was movement to it. It's like, ah, cool.
It did
and
help.
The stars
it does help
in the background,
aesthetic,
and
yeah.
It went like it kept that background, and then panned into, oh look, here's the stuff in space that we're dealing with.
Okay, well, Legend has this gorgeous red lettering, and it scrolls slowly with the Tangerine Dream playing, and then it fizzles out at the end. It's very good. It's
okay.
Tasteful.
Okay,
you have to see it.
Okay,
you still haven't seen that movie, so you and I are going to watch that movie, and we're going to talk about it.
Okay,
yeah,
we'll do that during Dragon Con.
You've never seen that movie. Yeah,
I need to see it. I for whatever reason
never seen it either.
So for whatever reason, I've seen bunches of it, like little chunks of it, but I think it was a little too. Like, the Satan in it is a little too Satan-y for my parents. I don't know. Sure.
Tim Curry, I will say, even today, that it's the best. He's a little red, but it's the best, like, the makeup's a little red, but the best is makeup I've ever seen on any kind of demon character ever. Like, it's, and we've seen a lot. It's so good. Yeah. And Tim Curry just brings this energy, and you're like, maybe I will leave Tom Cruise and just be your demon princess. I don't see a downside. Like, I want to kill the unicorn. Like, it's very close to that happening in the movie, but it's great.
Yeah, I need to check it out because I think I saw for whatever reason it was on a lot as a kid on whatever channel we had because
UPN. It was always
we didn't
on
even UPN. Have, okay. We didn't have a cable or anything, so we rarely had those movies like that. But sometimes the networks would play a movie enough, and it was I felt like every Saturday it was like on or something, and I would see like. The first few minutes of it. Like, I feel like I saw those first few minutes a bunch of times. The Tangerine Dream thing you're talking about. I've seen that a bunch. And then I think once the Satan character enters, my parents were like, yoink.
Nope.
We'll be changing
the
channel.
If we ever meet Tom Cruise, it's the only movie he doesn't talk about. There's no interviews of it, nothing. So I'm going to be like, hi, Tom Cruise. I think you're amazing. Everything you've ever done. Can we talk about Legend? And then he's going to be like, why would we do that? Why would you bring that up?
Like,
you know?
Can we talk about Legend? Like, no, he's going to be like,
we're
bye.
Talking about Legend. I'd be like, you were my first love.
Don't tell my husband. He knows, but...
He knows.
Don't tell him I grabbed your butt. What? Oh.
I didn't notice you grabbed my butt. I'm very stealthy. So
we're not here to talk about Legend.
We are not. We're not.
Speaking of first loves and Tom.
Speaking of.
And Chris.
Speaking of first love of the MCU here. Good old Tommy. Good Tommy Hids. I don't know.
Hiddles. The Hiddles.
So
Tommy
hot.
Hiddles. Is better. Well, we weirdly enough, I looked back at our, we normally drop our baby Matt and Jeff talking about the movie the day before we drop our new coverage, because it's kind of fun to see them juxtaposed against each other. This movie, Thor the Dark World, is not in our feed anywhere, and I could have sworn we covered it at some point. It's possible I tricked you into not covering it with me, because it's apparently not on our podcast anywhere. So this may be the first time we've ever gotten on mic and specifically to talk about this movie.
I think we talked about it at some point.
Like, oh, we've talked about it a lot.
There were arguments.
We did Thor 2 versus Iron Man.
I'm pretty
episode.
Sure we reviewed this movie specifically.
Right, it's just not in our feed anywhere. So yeah. It either got.
It's part of the missing 14.
I thought that, but then I looked and I didn't see it anywhere. So, so that's the thing. It might be, and I'm just not. I may have like missed it, but it's looking like this. This just doesn't. It definitely doesn't exist in our feed. So. For those long term listeners, this is a rare treat, an MCU movie we haven't covered. Weirdly, at least has not been available for listening.
I'm gonna blame you for that. It's all your fault.
Sounds like a control alt delete to me.
Yep. It sounds like Matt just didn't want to talk about Thor 2, and he's a dastardly fiend, is what it is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely. Definitely a dastardly fiend.
Well, I will say I loved my rewatch. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've watched it, and we've had a lot of content since then. And I don't know. It just, you know when it feels like going home?
Yeah.
We always say that about these movies. And I was like, yeah. Oh, my friends are here. And Tom and Chris are not using – this is my favorite movie for costumes and production. Like, story and everything aside, you can tell this movie is – the production's gorgeous. They use their real hair instead of wigs. And they have extensions, which I'll say, but the front of their hair is like real. And it makes such a difference.
It looks so much better.
Everyone looks so good. And the story's not, there's problems, but you know, like comic book movie. You know, comic book movie. What are you going to do? The plot doesn't make sense. Comic book movie.
Well, okay.
I will not accept that as an answer, but I will say, I really enjoyed this movie. And as I've said many times, this is one of my least favorite in the MCU, but...
Yeah, with Iron Man 3 being a clear bottom of the barrel.
I said my least favorite.
Yeah.
Iron Man 3 is up near the top for me, baby.
it's at you're least upside middle down in the barrel. You've gone ahead. That's why it looks like it's at the top.
It's right in the middle for me. I'm very Switzerland in this. Both of these are right in the middle for me, I think, at this point.
They're all my favorite. Every single one of them.
I said middle.
Well, and that's what I was getting at. Like, I it's not my favorite one, but rewatching it, like, it's a lot of fun. It's a good movie. Like, it's one of those things. It's like, there, I have my issues. I have things that really frustrate me about this movie, but it's still the MCU. It's still characters I love. It has some great moments in it. Let's get into it.
If I wasn't already in love with Loki, this is where it turned into an unhealthy obsession.
Especially when he's like, he's piloting the boat and he's like, if it were easy, everyone would do it.
Nope. Cryy, whiny, in the box. This is me raw. That Loki. I was yes.
All right. Okay.
Like,
my emo little Loki. Crow, oh my God, you know, he looks like Brandley. Yeah, when he's like, do you see me now, brother? I'm like, oh, I can get to your heart. I can make you mine.
His feet are bloody.
Oh, you are in there. Well, it's like when we first start to see, like, oh, you're really in there.
He has emotions.
I know.
Mm. He cares about people.
Well, he cares about his mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he cares about, he has love for something that's not himself.
That's the tricky thing, is it's like, what, yes, it obviously impacts him greatly. That his mother has died, especially that he sent the monster to his mother. Like, he is responsible for her death. But is it, like, it's not really showing that he's a good guy yet, but it does show that he has a heart. He has a soul. There's something there, which makes it even more convincing. I love this whole movie, all of the back and forth where do you trust him, do you not? And when he dies, like, I really bought it the first time I watched the movie, you
me
know?
Too.
Like,
the movie kind of ended for me there. I was like, well, what's the point? How much
right.
How much longer?
Right. Ugh. Well, that's the thing. The movie, as much as we talk about it all the time, how especially these early MCU movies, people always complain they have weak villains. I always contend they don't have weak villains. They just have villains that are not the point. The point is the hero's journey that they're on.
Yep.
And in this movie, you have the hero's journey is not just Thor's journey, but it's like the brothers and their relationship.
Yep.
And it's like about them building that further. And in many ways, he is an antagonist, especially with the way it ends, you know, with him on the throne.
Right.
He's the real antagonist of this movie, Malekith, and he's great. And Malekith is just...
Malekith is a catalyst.
Right. But they couldn't end see, part of me wants to say, like you said, Ash, like, once he's gone from the movie's kind of over. Because that's what you care most about, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But...
then they throw that science in my face, which you understand. And I'm like, what are they doing? I don't know.
Oh,
this
I don't
is funny
think
and quirky, but you love the time hopping stuff so much.
Wait, what time hopping
stuff? At the end, when they start like jumping around through universes and stuff.
Oh, like the teleportation type stuff.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
They're going around. Okay.
Going through the wormholes.
Like, there's no real time hopping.
Not time.
But yes.
I don't know what to call it anymore.
Yeah, that's just sort of like. But I think that scene is fun. I don't understand it. I don't think any better than you do because I think it's completely nonsensical.
Yeah.
But it's just this device of like, hey, there's these portals that keep opening and shooting people to different places. And it makes for a fun scene. Like, there's the great stuff where he's getting on the subway.
Yes. I love awesome. That scene. If I was that chick, I would have dropped everything I had one at a time. Like, I just dropped my keys. Oh, no, I just dropped my. Oh, can you just get that?
Oh,
for
please.
Me, the entire
excuse
ride?
Me.
No, please be a good king and bend over to grab that for me.
Oh my goodness. And the way that like she fell into him when the train started moving, she's like, oh.
You're goddamn right.
It's like she did the Peggy Carter thing and she's like, oh, I couldn't stop.
Yeah, he's my Thor in this. I was like, Chris Hemsworth looks the most like Thor, how I envisioned Thor to look of all of the MCU in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, really good.
I agree wholeheartedly because like way back in the beginning when they were doing casting, there was like the short list. Everybody's like, oh, it's going to be Triple H. I'm like, no, you cannot put him in there. Give me Alexander Skarsgård.
Yes.
That was based purely on him being Eric the Norseman in True Blood. And when we first saw him, in that role, he had super long hair, like long blonde hair, was ripped. And I was like, that's Thor. That is Thor right there. Mm. And so like when people were like, short list of like a wrestler and then whoever else, I'm like, no, this is the person.
Australia's like, let us show you our pride and joy.
And then they're like, here's Chris Hemsworth. I'm like, who the fuck is Chris Hemsworth? And then I can't imagine anybody else. Like,
no one else.
Maybe Alexander Skarsgård could still pull it off, but like, he's got big shoes to fill. Hemsworth did such an immense job. And honestly, this Thor, the whole time I was watching it this past time, I was like, I miss this version of Thor, where he's mostly like, he's not jokey, dumb, stupid all the time. Like, he's serious. He's got missions and like he's fully capable of making a quip, but he's serious about the task at hand. And like, I didn't realize how much I missed that until I was rewatching this.
I agree.
Yeah. I definitely think that once you get to Ragnarok, I mean, I love him in the Avengers movies too. He's also very serious in those movies. He has his moments. He's quippy in times, but like, or he's not quippy. That's the wrong thing to say. He makes like really funny comments, like adopted, you know, stuff like that. Like there's like, but they're still from the core of his serious being. Like even that line is sort of this, like, it, there's just something very serious about him, and his humor is almost that I'm too so serious that it comes off funny. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And like, then after Ragnarok, it's stuff like that. I always think about when he's doing that spinning around talking to Surtur or whatever, and it's just like, it's so fun and funny, but it does like remove the character. Like, it feels it's too silly for Thor.
Yeah,
it feels too silly. But the problem is, I think they were trying to react to this movie where they went kind of super serious, and it was received very, very poorly. So I understand why they want to do something different. I think Chris Hemsworth showed himself to be an amazing like comedic actor in those movies, but it's really hard. It's at least really hard for Taika Waititi to like pivot from that silliness into like, I really wish that after the Guardians franchise, James Gunn could have made a Thor movie, because I think he could have done the thing that Taika doesn't do well, I think, in any of those movies, which is like pivot well to the serious,
balancing without the going immediately back to slapstick.
Yeah. And I'm one that says that it's not even about balancing, like, because you can make it so funny and so serious. And I think that's what James Gunn does well, like silly, but then now it turns on a dime and I'm having like, I'm having one of the most heartfelt cries in a movie theater, you know what I mean? Like, anyway,
yeah.
But I think that's all reaction. This movie is where that comes from. And it's because whatever they did just didn't work. And for a lot of people, whatever they did was not well received. And I think a lot of that is that third act problem. You don't really care about Malekith. There's no like real threat that Malekith is going to win, you know?
Well, it's not even that there's any real threat of Malekith. It's that I don't give a shit about Malekith. Like, there's no building of the character of Malekith and like, why 100%. His motivation, like anything about him, like anything he cares about, loves, whatever. He doesn't even love his people. He'll sacrifice them on the dime.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's a big, big problem. The best villains are ones you can understand their point of view, and his is so
he's like, I want to end the universe and put it all back in darkness. Like, okay, yeah. But why though? Like, what does that do for you?
Right. Well, he wants to bring his peoples, like, they thrived in darkness. So he thinks that if he can get rid of this age of people of the light, he can bring back his people. But he it'd be one thing if he cared a lot about his people and it showed, but like one of the whole thing is he wants to bring back a world for his people to thrive. And the way he does that is he goes around sacrificing his people at every turn completely coldly, you know? Yep.
Well, this was one of the first Marvel movies that really went through a lot of drama on the backside, so I almost give it some leeway because it was supposed to be directed by Patty Jenkins, and that's why Natalie Portman she got her involved with it, and she was hired, and then they had some kind of, Marvel didn't see eye to eye with where the story would go, and then they got Alan Taylor, who I looked up his IMDb, and I was like, oh, I guess they really like the Emperor's New Clothes with Ian Holm from I don't know what year, because he really hasn't directed anything. It's surprising. And I don't know, they went through rewrites and this was just a lot of drama from the beginning. And you can almost, I don't know, there's the way the performances are and the script is terrible.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Well, like the most that he's done has been directing TV. And
yeah,
especially he's done, several episodes of Game of Thrones. So
this was way before that.
This was 2014.
Was it around the same time? Was it?
Yeah, Thor: The Dark World came out in 2013. Game of Thrones was like 2011 is when he had directed those.
I wonder if this is part of, and I mean, I still think this is a issue that Marvel has, and it's finding, it's because they're doing a thing no one's ever done before, which is make so many movies so fast and have them be interconnected that they are constantly sort of experimenting with the idea of what kind of creatives to bring on. And it kind of makes sense at this level in their creativity where they're like, okay, we're really starting to build this movie universe and we need it to be tight and we need directors who will follow the lead of our executives and the goals that we're setting for these movies.
Yeah.
Like, you need to introduce the ether. You need to introduce all this stuff. You need for you know, Loki to end up on the throne. Like, they probably had this stuff sketched out, and then they go to a director who wants to make their own decisions, like Patty Jenkins probably, and they're yeah. like, oh, well, that's not going to work. And this around this probably not too far off from where we lost Edgar Wright.
Yep.
So I have a feeling they were probably in this, and that's when they got the Rousseau brothers in there, and that's where they got their TV directors that worked well, and they just leaned into that for a while. I don't know. This is before the Rousseaus, though, right? I'm confused. This is before.
Their first one was Winter Soldier. Interestingly enough, though, the screenplay was written by Christopher Marcus, Stephen McFeely, and Chris Yost. But Marcus and McFeely were the ones that wrote like all of the Cap stuff. They wrote Avengers 3 and 4.
I think they were starting to get to this idea where we're going to have like these showrunners that are Marcus and McFeely. They're writing this big epic, and we're going to have different TV directors come in and do these things. And I don't think it's the director's fault necessarily. This movie's directed really well.
No.
I think it's really like the shots look beautiful. The action's done well.
It's pretty. And
yeah.
Beautiful.
The thing that I think is such an issue with this movie that would be fixed with, you know, a slight change, is because they were going for, you know, that sort of like long form episode and like treating the MCU like it's a series with episodes that are movies that come out months and months apart. If this movie would be better as a series, because there are so many different pieces to it that are like, this felt like the end of an episode. This felt like the end of an episode. Like each of these things.
Oh, for sure.
Because like, you know, in the middle of the movie, it turned into a heist movie. Like that is a heist episode. Give me a heist episode and that's going to be fun. We'll have fun having that be different from the rest of them.
Well, it is kind of three episodes. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the episode where that starts with, you know, the beginning of this movie explains the background and ends with Thor's mom dying. And then the next episode where you're going and picking him up and you're going on a heist to get him out. And there's that whole thing. And that ends with him dying. And then you get the next episode, which is they actually face off with Malekith and you find out in the last reel that he's there. Like, it's very much the three acts of this movie feel like almost separate stories sort of lead into each other.
I think, though, that the first act especially can be split into more than just that one episode.
Sure, sure, yeah.
Because like everything with Dr. Foster and like finding all the anomalies and finding the ether, like everything in London, like up until Thor shows up, like right there.
I was just gonna say that, like after Chris O'Dowd and stuff, and when Thor shows up,
like that's a good episode end. And like you see Thor credits,
which I don't think is always a bad thing. We actually in our rewatches we've been doing with this Infinity Saga rewatch, we have talked about how Captain America, the first Avengers, the same way. And Iron Man is the same way. Iron Man is, you got the movie in the cave, and then you got the movie where he's like trying to reform the company. Then you got the movie where he's fighting Ironmonger. It feels, and it's very comic booky in that way. It feels like different comic books leading into each other. And it's just, you got to cover more in a movie than one comic book, but there's a lot of little self-contained stories happening.
Sure. I think though, this one could have benefited from that because we would have gotten more motivation and character depth at all, for Malekith.
Yeah.
And maybe even for Curse.
And I love that actor.
You know,
Christopher Eccleston.
I do too.
Eccleston.
Love Christopher Eccleston. And he is so wasted in this movie. I mean, it's like a common thing.
The whole time.
Hammered. Get it?
Hammer.
Oh, you.
It's a Thor movie.
I
can we talk about how no one knows how to use the Infinity Stone? Like, it's an Infinity Stone, and everyone's like, it's just the ether. And at one point, they're like, oh, the Reality Stone is the six Infinity Stones, remnants of this singularity, blah, 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 blah. But the whole time, I'm like, it's just this liquid.
Yeah.
And it never goes back to that.
Yeah, Odin does say, like, most of the relics from before the universe are stones and the Infinity Stones, but this one's not. This one's amorphous liquid because it. But then it turns into a stone later. Like, condenses it, I guess?
Yeah, fine. that's off screen too, because he gets it from the collector.
Yep.
Who you show up and that's already happened, so you never see him actually put it in. It's in the like cask or whatever that has like the
Okay, he does it.
Yeah. So somehow the collector. Or it's possible like when it goes into the gauntlet, it like formed into the stone that it fit into that receptacle or something. But like it is weird.
I was so excited to see Benicio del Toro.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be a bigger role.
Mm.
In Endgame, they went back to this movie, basically extracted the ether and turned it into a stone.
Oh, funny. I forgot that. That's funny.
Oh, you're yeah. Right.
So it needs to be some way that Tony Stark can do it, too.
Well, it is the reality stone, so I guess once you have it, you can just make it a stone.
You're kind of like, I want you to be a rock!
Exactly.
And it's like, oh, my bad. Tink, tink, tink. Because otherwise, it just is a big, dusty particle cloud, which is Matt's favorite way to end a movie.
Oh, yeah, the best. It is best. Way to end a movie. It's just like you got to get personal, dig down deep into the characters and create a particle cloud.
Yeah, particle cloud around them so that you drown out everything else. It's just you and me, baby. Let's have some therapy. And by therapy, I mean hammering your face.
But, you know, so I feel like we're talking a lot about what didn't work with this movie. But I do think this movie works. It's just like I just think it has some issues, but like I love all the Jane Foster stuff. I love her dating that guy. I love them calling from that other realm, and he's like, and Thor's having to listen to her. Oh yeah, let's go on another date sometime. Like I just think it's fun stuff.
Yep. And he's like,
her ringtone made me roll my eyes though. I was like, what is this? Like because like Darcy's funny. A lot of the quips are funny, and her ringtone when they were in the thing, I didn't catch what song it was, and I was like, what is this?
Oh, I don't know. What is a ringtone?
The little things I pay attention to.
The way that he's like, so Richard, and she's like, no, don't you start with me.
I enjoyed how Jane slapped everybody.
Yeah.
It was a good time. It's a good time. She says, she slaps him. And so something like, I just need to make sure you were real.
Yeah, I had to make sure that you were real.
And then slaps him again and is like, that's for like not coming to see me or whatever.
Why? Where were you? I waited.
Yeah, and then later she slaps Loki, that's for New York or that's for Earth or something.
Yeah, that was for your New York. And he's like, I like her.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she had a moment there at the end when she's like, am I with the right brother? When he was all projecting her, you know?
Oh, man. I thought the stones the elves were using looked like extremis. we've talked about these two movies, and they're, you know, me and you've argued about which one's better, but it kind of feels like extremis was like, you know, the connective tissue between the elves putting those coals in their mouth and turning all fiery.
Totally.
Very extremist. Come on.
No, yeah, you're not wrong. It's like
it's just technology that looks like magic.
Red fiery thing to transform you into something else so that you basically go nuts until you die.
Yeah, that's extremist. Come on.
Berserker rage.
I think we've unlocked the secret.
Yeah.
And what were they calling what was going on there? A convergent, which is different from the conversions that we're worried about now in the multiverse saga.
No, what we're worried about now is incursions.
Yeah, incursions.
And that was incursions, not convergence. But this is a convergent. Yeah. Oh my God.
Convergence just means things that are coming together. So the realms are converging into one place somehow.
Well, and the incursion
is
that
incursion is
them smashing
is the two
together.
Universes,
yeah.
Crashing into
each other. So realms in this context are like parts of space as far as we can tell, and they are the different realms, the nine realms that Thor and his people use the Rainbow Bridge to get to. So I'm assuming they're somehow connected in some sort of like
they're
spatial way through the Rainbow Bridge.
They're supposedly connected as far as like Norse mythology. They're connected by the roots and branches of Yggdrasil.
Right. Mm. But we're talking about like the science of what that means. It seems like they are either built the Rainbow Bridge that connects them, or there is some sort of naturally occurring phenomenon like the convergence that connects these worlds, and maybe that's what allows the Rainbow Bridge to operate the way that it does between the realms. I don't know. Which is why they were able to take those nine realms or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. And then like Hela comes in later in, you know, in the next one is just like, he stopped at nine realms as if like, that's it. Like, no, yeah. It's based on mythology. Come on.
Yeah. But from her perspective, you that's just her
play
dad,
along.
Like given up on the dream of like ultimate domination, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they didn't know about like other planets and star systems.
Did they? Because they knew the collector in this
no,
movie.
I'm saying like the Vikings didn't.
Right, sure.
Oh, like the...
Well,
the,
yeah, okay. But that doesn't explain why the space... If this version of the space people, you have to have a reason. And I think it's a really cool character reason for Odin to be like realizing the like his conquering ways aren't really good. So he like backs off. That's like, I think that's really, really interesting.
Well, you know, it's like he understands his limits, right? Like I can really only manage like nine... realms, probably.
A lot of discipline in that.
Yeah. I mean, he could have conquered more, but like, it starts to get unstable. You know, like uprisings are really common. Yeah,
it's a good,
and that kind
it's
of
fair
thing.
Point. It's a fair.
Can't
point.
Take care of everyone. You can only feed so many, right?
True. You can.
Really in odd numbers.
And nine's the best one because it is a cube. No, it's a square of. The first odd number.
What?
That is not one.
Huh? I was just thinking cats, but whatever.
Three
you're
squared
about
is
cool
nine. Three is like the first
he's
prime
making
odd
stuff
number.
Up.
Whatever.
Oh, you're
yeah,
talking,
I'm talking
math.
Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?
Is that why you're drooling?
I'm a what? Yep.
So Ray Stevenson is Volstagg. We miss
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's so good to see him again.
Yeah, I was the only person who didn't know Zach Levy was recast as Fendral.
Yeah,
I was like, is that yep. what's his face?
Is that Shazam?
The first time I've noticed they made him look shorter somehow. Because isn't that guy like 6'11"? Like he's really tall.
Yeah, he's.
I have no idea.
Then again, I see him in Miss Maisel, and she's like 4 foot nothing.
Yeah, oh, she's little. Maisel. And he's a big dude.
So funny, like the way that so many actors who are in good things end up being in these superhero movies, and it's like, you know, Zachary Levi went on to be Shazam, and now she's yeah. going to be Lois Lane. Like, super yeah. fun.
Ray Stevens got to do Star
yeah,
Wars.
Yeah, you know, like, that is just, like, obviously the tragedy is more to his family and his loved ones, but we really lost mm-hmm. out. Like, I feel like he had... That was his breakout role. Like, so many people, like, just know his name that didn't before, you know?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he would have gone on to do some cool things. So sad.
And for your information, Ashley, he is 6'3".
Oh, he's not that tall. Compared to Chris Hemsworth, he's, like, a 6'4", 6'5".
I think Hemsworth is 6'3" as well.
Okay.
Mm. I really did like that... This movie picked up so right after Avengers. The Nine Realms in yes. Chaos, they talk about that because the Bifrost has been destroyed and all that, but also Loki being brought in chains, you know? It's just very good, tight canon. Like, we talk a lot about sometimes the movies feel like there's a big time jump between them, and this one is just like mm-hmm. tight, wet, hot continuity. It's like right there, you know?
It's steamy. He's talking about chains, not me.
We really get to see like where all of the characters like pick up right where they were and see those characters move forward, you know?
And it's like, I loved what you guys were saying. I like mellow Thor. Like, he's sad. He's a little bit more mature.
Yeah.
And it was fun to see him just kind of being like, ugh, I'm so tired.
Right.
He's like, Sif, girl, oh, I get it. I would shoot my shot every time, too.
Right.
I don't care how tired he is. Every time.
Because, like, we got the, like, the plucky, arrogant, you know, spoiled rich kid, basically, in the first Thor. And, like, learned his lesson, got shit stomped, and then it's like, oh, okay, now, I get it now. You gotta be good to people. You got to do things, you know, cook people breakfast. That's what makes you worthy. And so he's probably just really sad that he's cooking everybody breakfast, right? Like he's just having to cook everybody breakfast. He's like, breakfast okay. really takes it out of you.
It does.
He's like, I have to get up so early every day.
I'm the breakfast maker around here. And it's some days it's a lot.
I'll take breakfast over cooking any other meal. Well, lunch doesn't count if it's a sandwich that you're throwing together, but I would rather cook breakfast.
I always want pancakes around here, and it's just like a lot.
Oh, that's a lot.
It's always, I just feel like it's, it costs such a mess, but that's what they always want, and I always end up making pancakes.
It's because you do it so good.
I do. I am a pancake maker.
I am a sucker for pancakes. They're good. And a Belgian waffle.
I had, for Christmas, I asked for a griddle, like a longer, like griddle, so that I could yes. cook pancakes and not cook them like one or two at a time in a pan, but I can cook like four or five on the long griddle.
Nice.
It's great.
Did they give that to you?
Yes.
Freaking better half.
Nice.
Yeah, right. But also, it's like, hey, yes, here's a present for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Here's, like, yeah. Here's a present so for like, you to make Santa... me more pancakes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Santa got it. He wants you to make the pancakes.
Santa wants the pancakes. It's not me.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. So much more Thor 2 talk right after this.
So, back to Thor, right?
Yeah.
I like when Jane gets the powers, though, because I would like that power if someone... You know, came yeah. at
don't
me.
Touch me.
I wouldn't even have to do anything. Yeah, don't touch me. It's the best power.
The don't touch me
you
power.
You can't touch me. You can't be around me. And I get this sick new flowy outfit. Sign me up.
Right? That Asgardian look on her was very nice.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciated it. She threw that Aero Pastel jacket over it yeah. at the end. So she still had like her coat yep. on.
She's like, see, I'm from Earth.
Earth.
Love it. There's some really good like lines that reminded me of the first Thor that I felt really good about. Like I really liked, if I had not saved you, you would not be here to hate me. Really liked that line.
Really good. Yeah. Odin had some real bangers in this one.
When he called Jane a goat, yep. I know.
when he was like, your birthright was to die. I love how he enunciated the T on birthright. Just nailed it.
Yeah, he kills it.
What did you think about upset Odin? Because Odin was kind of off the hinges in this one.
Well, I mean,
right? He was a little.
I think he's fighting his father's war, right? Like his father Bor thought he'd finish this, and it's sort of that like mm-hmm. you know, he fought all his like years to like probably live it, trying to live up to the like. Role that his father had done, right? Like that's what everyone does to some degree. Right. And it's like you're living up to like the previous generation or whatever, and you're trying to live up to or live past or live in spite of. It's just kind of like what we all tend to do.
It's the Asgardian like, generational trauma. It just takes a lot longer.
Yeah, well, they got long lives, and they and I think the way that you those things manifest in you young, like they just you're either fighting to be better, to reach the goals that your parents reached, or just to like fight to be completely different. Like it puts a whole thing on you. And I think like when he realizes that the war his dad was most known for, his dad had vanquished the darkness, like it's back. Like he felt like he had to live up right. to that. And I think there's a line where he says, Thor says something like, how long do we fight? And he's like, to the last drop of Asgardian blood. And he's like, then what yeah. is the difference between you and Malekith? Like, it's really, that stuff was really mm-hmm. good and effective in this movie, I think.
Yeah. And then his response, like, the difference is, I'm going to win. Like,
mm-hmm. So it's so like Thor mm-hmm. in the first movie, you know, like it's so immature.
Mm-hmm. I see where he gets it, you know?
Yeah exactly. Which like sets up, I mean, it really does set up the idea of Hela coming and being like, yeah, that whole thing you're trying, the Thor is trying to live up to his father as well. And it's this whole thing of like, he's this good, like noble king. But in this, we see the immaturity and the like brashness and the like, this is a word I'm looking for that escapes me, but just the like, he's raring for a fight. When he sees a fight that he wants, he's raring for it, very much like Thor was in the first one.
Yeah.
And I think that instead of there's never any kind of like attempts at figuring out what they can do to find peace with these people or anything like that. It's just, let's destroy them.
Yeah.
And I mean, in the end, there's not much you could do probably, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's also his lack of fallibility, you know? That whole, like, I am right. This is the way. The only way through is the way that I say. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know,
fall in line because we're going to do the thing and we're doing it this way.
Mm. Yeah.
And then Thor never really gets to reconcile with his dad on that. Like, I went against you. I betrayed Asgard, quote unquote, you know, committed treason. I committed treason doing this.
Oh yeah.
And then doesn't actually get to work it out with Odin.
At least mentally, if it was, that would be like a good therapy session, even though it was Loki. Because he did give him his blessing.
Yeah. Like, you know, at least Thor felt good about it.
And that's what I mean. After Loki threw himself his own funeral and was like, I love this. That's the most Loki thing to do. Yep. But he's like, yeah, all right, my son. And it's like all the only thing Thor's ever wanted to really hear.
Have you seen?
It's not like his dad didn't do
it. Have you seen those memes recently? Where like we were all at, you know, at this point in the MCU, we were all like, oh shit, the world is going to end. Loki's in charge. And then like all he really did was like build a statue of himself and like.
Right. And have theater plays.
Like watch plays.
Yeah.
And like.
That's all he was going to do.
And improved infrastructure. Like he built rails on the side of the Bifrost so that people wouldn't fall off.
Yeah.
Like he funded arts and infrastructure.
Exactly. Well, sure. But it's also sort of like Nero fiddling, right? Like he does all that. And because he got rid of Odin and Odin was keeping Hela at bay in some way, is his actions are directly responsible, because it's possible that Odin could have passed down his knowledge to Thor or to even Loki and like kept Hela out, prepared them for what was coming, and instead they lose Asgard because of it all.
Oh,
well,
man.
I think you're right. I think this movie is consequences. I like that Loki gets real consequences for his actions, you know, that thing doesn't let him out and he tells him where to go and he makes the terrible choice of being like, oh, they're up there. Thor as well, bringing Jane there was very dangerous for his people and kind of look what happened. Everybody has to deal with major consequences in this movie.
Yep, for sure. Well, and I think that's the thing with this entire movie. I mentioned earlier the fact that like it's so tied in to the rest of the universe that it really feels like everything is directly moving forward from the actions taken in the past. And I do feel like at some point after this movie, they sort of lost that in the MCU. And I think that is sort of what has transpired now with the lack of returning to things in phase 4 and 5, that it's really cool to see this version of this like continuity of this universe.
Yeah. And I mean, the references that they were able to do with such a small MCU at the time, where like Loki was like, how about I, you know, take on the form of one of your new friends? And then it's just
best cameo ever.
And it's just it really Chris Evans like prancing around in his costume.
You want to have a rousing discussion about truth, honor, and patriotism?
Yes! Patriotism. Oh, the costume's a bit much. So tight. Yep. But all the confidence.
It's good stuff. It's really good.
It's basically like Chris Evans got to be his own parody, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so funny.
I always love that when people get to play other people pretending to be them, like impersonating them.
Yeah.
It's just always a lot of fun.
I love that. And like, you don't get that kind of shit here lately. Like, that one felt, and like that one was so important. If you remember, we were talking about like Chris Evans' contract at that time, and like how many movies he had left, how many appearances he had left on his contract, and like we were like, does that one count? Marvel's like, that one doesn't count. That one's not one of the ones. They had to tell us like, no, that's not it.
Yeah, man, I really like the line, Loki is dead. Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
He tells Jane that Loki is dead.
Sorry.
Yep.
And she's like, oh, right, your brother. My bad.
Yep.
My bad.
Oops.
It's just interesting to see from her perspective, like, this is her brother. This is Loki's. This is Thor's brother, who he cares about, who we care about. But to her, he's just the guy that attacked Earth, you know, like,
yeah,
and did and caused one of the worst, you know, the incident as we know about it in Defenders, Battle of New York.
Yep. And poor Selvig. Poor Selvig.
Oh, so, I love that. That he was at Stonehenge in his underwear or naked.
Yeah. Yep. I love that. I love him at naked Stonehenge.
Butt ass naked. See, it's like, it's pretty great. Like, what happened to you? Had a god in my head.
Yeah. I don't recommend it.
And then I love his like almost like redemption when he's like, it's really gratifying to know that, you know, all the crazy shit you're seeing is not just in your head. Like, you guys saw that too. Cool. I can throw all these pills away.
You know what? You know, I had never noticed watching these movies that, like, I thought was interesting, and, like, I don't know why I never noticed it, was all the sideways and weirdly stacked containers right before you find the anomaly.
Yeah.
In the movie. Like, in retrospect, obviously, those have been manipulated by the anomaly itself, and they're, like, stacked, and, you know, and, like, it's weird. It's like Jenga pieces or whatever, because they show us later, like, a car floating and the beast floating at the end of the movie. But it's just kind of fun that, like, that's a little clue that something is wrong.
Yeah.
But no one mentions it. And I think that's a really cool director or, like, writing choice to have that happening in the background, but no one's like, look at the they don't hang a lampshade on it at all. They don't go, what's the deal with these container ships? They're just like in the background in weird configurations.
Yeah, like nobody points the audience eye to it.
Yeah. And I probably noticed it before, but this viewing, I was like, oh, that's cool. That's real cool.
What's interesting is I wonder how he seemed fine in that end credit scene when he's talking to Fury. Isn't that before this? So I guess you would think he slowly started to mentally deteriorate.
Well, it seems to be connected to the convergence, right? Are you talking about
when
do we see him? Yeah, in the end credit scene of one of the movies.
That's in the first Thor movie.
Yeah, okay. And that's before he goes nutso in the.
That's before he got affected by the Mind Stone.
Yeah, what's during, really? Like, he's getting, he's actively becoming, like, a servant of Loki.
Right. Okay.
And then Avengers happens, and then he's like, that's why he says, I had a god in my head.
Yeah,
I don't recommend it. Yeah. And it seems to be that the convergence is also causing him some extra, like, I don't know. Something's going on. Yeah. Or it's just he believes it's going to happen because he can see it and feel it because of all the stuff. And so he's just kind of off his rocker trying to stop it.
Yeah. Well, there's also, like, the way that he was telling it, it's like, when this happens, it's going to be violent and awful. And, like, there has to be a specific thing to be put in place to have them just pass each other by and not, like, destroy the Earth. Mm-hmm. He's like, my instruments are the way to do this. And then freaking Ian's like, these are taped together.
You do what you gotta do, Ian. God, him and Darcy, the scenes are so funny with them.
Yeah.
What shield? It's a secret.
But, like, he's carrying equipment in the beginning of it that says property of shield on it.
Right? Not very observant.
Yeah. The secrecy of shield has always been something we've talked about as, like, it's really unclear how secret S.H.I.E.L.D. is.
Right.
Because he's just, you know, he's telling Tony Stark about it pretty openly, talking to Pepper about it. Like, it's a thing, but then, like, it does seem like a secret at some points. And then, like, we go back and watch Captain Marvel and,
And he, like, flashes, you know, the badge.
He's flashing a S.H.I.E.L.D. badge to other, you know, to military civilians. Organizations. Yeah, to civilians, right?
Official, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. business.
So it's like, oh, wait, was S.H.I.E.L.D. not outed during the battle? I thought S.H.I.E.L.D. like came to light during all this stuff, maybe during, but then you've got a Winter Soldier, you've got the Triskelion being built, and it's like on the news that it's getting destroyed. It's like, is that a secret facility, or is that like, like, what's the deal?
It's actually, that was, checks notes, a laser tag arena, not a government department building, huh?
Look into this light.
It's a weather balloon. It was a weather balloon. I really loved Heimdall taking down that Dark Elf ship. And it felt very much like, okay, we kind of screwed up and gave this amazing actor of Idris Elba a role that is like...
He just stands there.
So cool, but he just stands there. He's such a cool character, but he just stands there. Let's let him have his moment. And in this movie, they let him have that amazing, just like takes down an entire Dark Elf ship by himself.
Yeah, like, I see that.
From the outside with a sword. Like, it's just so much fun.
It was a couple of swords, but yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We had to know just how badass Heimdall is. Like, it's not just about, like, give Idris Elba something to do. But it's like, Heimdall is so powerful. And
sure.
Like, all we know of that is what we're told or we're shown. And we weren't really shown anything other than, like, he broke out of being encased in ice in the first one. And, like, you know, killed a few frost giants that were right there. Which is a badass move, but it's nothing compared to, like, there's something here that I cannot see that that is trying to get in, and then it's a ship, and he completely destroys it.
Yeah, it's really fun. And then they give him a much bigger role in Ragnarok, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then he's one of the characters that they use as, like, this is how powerful Thanos is. So I think, like, I think there's a cool thing they do with Heimdall where he, like, just slowly becomes, like, more and more fleshed out. And I do wonder if some of that is because they got such an amazing actor and then they're like, oh, it's, yeah, I don't know.
Right.
I always thought it's like, we might should use him. Like, we might should get him to do some stuff in these movies.
I think he came, he was like, it's so boring. He's like, I didn't get to do anything. And I think Taika was like, I'm going to change that for you. Because at least in this one, he was like, it was all CGI.
It looks really good though.
It does look good.
There's a lot of close ups of him like running up that bridge, and like I think it's his face. He's at least part of it. So much of Asgard is CGI though, because at least the environments are.
Asgard gets obliterated the whole time. I'm like, no, the architecture, no to this fantastical city. I'm like, you're not fixing that anytime soon. Like, that was a lot of damage.
I think you missed a few columns.
Well, we've seen Loki like bring it all, at least a glimmer of it all together with just magic. So maybe there's magic cores that can like work together to build it.
When Mobius showed Loki his thing, did he show him specifically like, oh, you showed the guy where to go to kill your mom? He did, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he very, very clearly told him that. Like, you gave that guy directions he went on to kill your mom. It's your fault. You got your mom killed.
Yeah. Rough.
Yeah, that's tough, man. It's so tough, and it's so like interesting because this movie starts the exact same place for these characters that the Loki TV show starts. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that's the Loki that's picking up here. I was thinking about that a lot when he's like walking with the chains. Like, this is literally exactly what happens to him, but it's the TVA. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, love it.
I want to bring up the music because I love Brian Tyler's score, and it's the one thing that actually ties you guys' two movies together because he did the Iron Man 3 score as well. And he also did the Marvel Studios fanfare at the earlier movies, which honestly, I love the new intros. They're great. They're beautiful. But I still used to love that like flipping of the pages sound, and it had this guy's like fanfare at the beginning. It was so good.
It was so great.
Good.
Really, really great.
Ba, 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 ba. Remember?
Yeah. What do you guys think of where the Thor character is left off in this movie, where he, you know, gives up the throne and says, "I'd rather be a good man than a great king."
I love that. I love that for him.
Yeah.
Like that's it. It feels like the Thor that I know. Like, he's not. He's not interested in a throne because it's way too much work and boring. That's not what he's about. I'm a hero for Midgard.
No pun intended, right?
What?
Boring. No, sorry. No pun intended.
I think it's funny. I think he goes and just, it's where Love and Thunder kind of picks up. He goes back with Jane, and then I guess what, they get an apartment for 2 years and then break up. Right? Isn't that what's supposed to have happened?
Yep. Something like that.
Something like that.
And Nick Fury keeps calling him.
Yeah, I'm like a little fuzzy on where Ragnarok starts.
Where Ragnarok starts?
With yeah.
The lava pits?
Oh, yeah. He's we just talked about it earlier. He's hanging in Surtur's lair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Well, he was talking to a skeleton at first.
And I guess we know that him and Jane are on a break by Ultron, right? Age of Ultron?
Hmm.
Because they have that, like, they have Tony's like, oh, they're like, where are our girlfriends? Or where are the ladies? And they all are making excuses for where the girls are.
Sure.
Yeah, they're not very explicit about it. No. And I think that's one of the problems, and I think that is, you know, we talked about how this one is so directly tied to the others, and that whole way of making movies, and it's TV directors, and they have showrunners that are making these bigger decisions. I think, like, some of these things, they just don't want to make a decision too soon, so they're like, we want it to be ambiguous as to whether Jane and Thor are together. So they'll mention it, it'll seem awkward, but we're not actually going to say they're apart, so we don't really know.
They're together, but they're not attached at the hip. Come on.
Yeah.
She's got a job.
Well, and we know that Tony and Pepper seem like they're apart at that point. So it serves to reason that maybe that's true, but like maybe not. Maybe we don't really know.
Yeah, I need a better timeline.
Yeah.
I need everything very, very explicitly laid out for me. Just yeah.
We have our Stan Lee cameo, the Can I Have My Shoe Back? That when we're talking about Selvig. That's what I meant to bring up. We've hit all of them.
Good.
I missed him.
In that first scene where they go to Valderheim or whatever, they're fighting
Anaheim.
Thank you. There's a moment where a guy runs up to Thor and chops his chest and like glances off the metal plating, and Thor just like takes him out. And I was like, should have gone for the head. Like, I kind of wish they could have retroactively included that line.
So just go in and later use that magic.
Yep. Yeah, use that magic.
You mentioned that scene. That had one of my very favorite funny Thor moments in it. It was when the giant fucking Cronin was there. And he was just like, I accept your surrender.
Yep, it's great. And it's great because it's like, it's showing that sort of power, might makes right sort of thing, and how it works in that sort of culture or whatever, like, and the kind of cultures they are working off of in this, and for this storyline. And it's sort of this like, it the fact that he has so much pomp and like confidence as he walks up to that Cronin, it makes the other side laugh, you know what I mean? And it's sort of like, all right, we maybe could bow to that guy. He's a pretty cool guy.
Like, yeah. It's like, all right, this guy's a badass. Cool.
Seems like maybe next time we should start with the big one.
Yeah. Shut up, Shazam. Nobody asked you.
Exactly.
It kind of felt like Fandral, like anytime Fandral spoke, I was just like, nobody was talking to you. Nobody. Like, you're just injecting yourself there, DC. Yeah,
and the fact that it's Shazam does make it feel, like, really weird to see him.
Yeah.
So in those scenes. So that wig was rough. His wig was rough.
Like, that one was the rough one.
Yeah, because who cares, right?
Sure. Side character, nobody's going to know.
I feel like we have not given much love to Frigga and her death in this movie.
Yeah, they're dancing around it.
Really?
Actually, well, I thought that funeral scene was a little bit too long.
Oh, well, I thought the funeral scene's beautiful.
It is.
And in resonant. But what is also cool is seeing Frigga fight that dark elf creature. Yeah. Like, she goes at him. I thought that was pretty awesome.
I mean, the fact that she had Malekith, like, on the ropes.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Blade to his throat was like,
yeah, that's right. It was okay. Malekith she's fighting, yeah. And then the dark elf comes there, in.
I think she could have taken him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. And that's so cool.
Yeah,
it's, like the way she's walking on the table with the swords behind her back, like, I just ready to go in. I just thought it was awesome.
Yeah. And it wasn't even like she was worried about anything. It was just like, she wasn't in the space where, like, I'll defend myself if I have to.
Right.
Like, he showed up and she's exactly. Like, you don't up now.
Yeah.
You're in my house, bitch.
Like, sit down, creature.
Yeah.
She went all Philly on him, like, f*** around and find out.
And yeah, unfortunately, that's usually what happens, and we find out. But
yeah,
we're all heart in the beginning.
But she was doing it,
that was
good,
bad,
though.
Too. That's a bad place to get stabbed. I was like, oh my God, did it come out the other side of her armpit? That was rough.
Yeah, it went kind of a...
like a... general. Yeah, yikes.
Yeah, it's rough. Ugh. I really like right before she dies, though, he calls her a witch and she just smiles.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like, yeah, I am.
I'm going to haunt you for the rest of your life.
Strike me down now, and yeah. I shall become more powerful than you could ever imagine.
You know, we talked a lot about how this movie is so tied in with the other ones, but you know what? I really hate the post-credit sequence. I really hate it.
Why? Really? Because it's not even Natalie.
Oh, no, I didn't even notice that.
The kiss, it's his wife. She wasn't on set that day or whatever, so when he shows up with the you know, on the rooftop with the cornflakes, like, yeah, the kiss is actually his wife in a brown wig.
that's hilarious.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you didn't know that?
No, didn't know that. Oh.
Did not. I did notice the really, really bad green screen.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
It's like, okay, we have a set that is mostly roof, get the little, and then, but London's back there. Yeah. Put London.
It's like Universal Studios, London.
Yeah, right.
Totally. Very static, very matte painting looking.
Yeah.
But there's that, and then there's the creature, the monster that's running around.
Oh, yeah.
Which, like, who cares? Is fun, and then they do go on to use that in Secret Invasion, which was, you know, one of those cool things they did do in Secret Invasion that I liked. That's but true. Like, I just say it's just lame. Like, he comes home to Jane. Like, that's what, like, we talked a lot about how things are tied together, and those post credit sequences do well tying things together. And this one's just like, hey, we're gonna tie it really tightly to the MCU, and then do a post credit sequence that doesn't even really come back. Like,
no,
he's not with her next time we see him. Exactly. That sort of happens off screen. So the fact that they decided to end it with this big tease of they're together now, and then it sort of like isn't the arc from there.
True.
It's kind of lame. It's a lame post-credit sequence.
I wonder, did she, like, okay, when the Bifrost hits, like, burns a pattern into the ground there.
Oh, her
roof. But, like,
roof.
He landed on the roof. Like, does that mess up her security deposit?
I don't know. In the beginning, it happened so quietly, too. It was just raining, and then he was just there. I was like, where is the pomp and circumstance of coming in from Asgard through the Bifrost? Because it just rained, and then he was there. But every other time, it's like... whoosh,
whoosh, yeah, every time it's...
the grass.
Boom.
Yeah, no, that time.
There he is.
He's just like, hi.
He's like, sneaky Bifrost.
I'm just behind this marble column.
Oh, no, wait. That's my bicep.
Yeah. Look at you.
Look at you. Still all muscly and stuff.
How's space? Space is fine.
Space is fine. That is a comical line delivered from Chris Hemsworth that is, like, absolutely perfect Thor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's Thor. Thor's humor in the first one is so based on him being fish out of water.
Yep.
Yeah. And so many lines like that, space is fine. Like, it just feels like it comes from the heart of that sort of doofusy guy from space that we all love. And then, yeah, it doesn't really, then they go on to make him, like, a bonkers, silly character in the next two outings.
I mean, yeah, he's basically all three of the Stooges. Yeah.
No, he's got other Stooges with him.
He's Dr. Thor in this one. Oh my God, when he's talking to her about the conversions or whatever, I don't care what he's talking about. He can. Yep. I just want him to play his guitar at me. He can just play his guitar at me.
Play Wonderwall.
And she's just like, works. I like how you explain things.
Uh-huh. She's so smart, too. And she's just like, ah. Yeah, I get it. Totally understandable.
Yep. And I mean, if him talking led to, or him explaining something led to, like, your hands interlocking like that, he's in. Yeah. He's got you.
Yep.
His hook is in, mm-hmm. and you are not getting away.
Mm-mm. I live in Asgard now.
Yeah.
And my name is whatever you want it to be. Yeah. Do I have to have a job or do I just get to do this all day?
Can I just hold on to you all day? Is that my job?
It'd be rough to go do anything else.
Yeah.
After that life.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Loki could have taken away Mjolnir and he didn't. That's what I wanted to talk about when he was on the throne. He was like, Thor goes to give Mjolnir back.
Oh, no, I think he was
afraid. I would have been like, just leave it on the bottom step, you know, because he wouldn't have been able to pick it up.
Exactly. He offered it and he says that thing like, no, you deserve it. Yeah. But it's really just cover for, you can't hand that to me.
No, I would have been like, okay, you're right. Go put that, you know where it goes. You go put it downstairs.
Put it back on its handle.
Pedestal. down in the Chamber of Secrets or wherever the hell that is down there. That's what I would have done. And I feel like Loki's smarter than me, so.
Yeah. You can't leave it here. You can't leave it out. You know, you have to put it away.
I just don't think that's who Odin is. Odin is like the pomp and circumstance of like, yes, I will receive the hammer, you know, like, I don't know. Yeah. So I think it would have revealed something was up.
I think for Odin though, it's more of like, if I wanted that hammer, I'd take it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. It's fair.
But Loki's speech made Thor feel even more worthy of the hammer. So everybody kind of lucked out here. Except for Loki, who later understands he probably should have told him to put it in the basement.
And so he wouldn't threaten to hit him in the face with it next time he saw him.
So good.
All right. Well, any other thoughts on Thor 2?
I am all Thor 2'd out.
What about anything that, like, looking back on this movie that is very different, looking back on it with the glasses of, like, what's happened in the MCU now? I think we hit on some of that stuff, like the way that this is the last, like, kind of serious Thor that we, not the last, I think he's pretty serious in Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
And he's pretty silly in Infinity War, but he has like some really serious moments. Infinity War and Endgame. Mm-hmm. But they're not Taika Waititi silly, they're like more... Yeah, they are. The fact that he's like a video gamer now.
Ultron's... I like him a lot in Ultron. I'm excited to get to that one because I think that's also my favorite, one of my other favorite Thors.
Yeah.
It's the party scene. It's like one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah.
In the whole MCU.
Everybody trying to lift Mjolnir.
Lift his hammer.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you're all unworthy.
Yeah.
Although I will say Infinity War Thor wasn't as silly.
No, you get what he's going through.
Yeah, like, and he's on a mission. Like, he's killing Thanos.
All the stuff with Guardians, those scenes are very silly.
They are.
But it's also the Guardians, so it's silly coming from a place of honesty, I think. Like, and even just, like, him calling him Tree and Rabbit, like, it just, it's a little bit, like, beyond the, it's sort of the Thor out of context thing, the out of fish out of water thing that Thor is particularly good at being funny at, but it's also a little over the line. Like calling them Tree and Rabbit just feels, I don't know, silly. Just
the really, food really silly. Line always bothers me because it seems not like something Thor. He's like, "That's our food." He's like, "Not anymore." I'm like,
"Yeah."
I'd be like, "What did you just say?" And this is our, like, I'm taking your pod, and this food's not yours anymore, and neither is this IKEA blanket.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm throwing all of that out when I say he was still pretty serious. He was on a mission. Cuz I'm only really ever thinking about the Nidavellir stuff.
Yeah. And he's very traumatized throughout that whole movie. Like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Gorgeous though. Looks great in that one too, even without the eye. But still, this is my favorite. This is my favorite Hemsworth in the whole MCU. Yeah, he looks like Thor. Like, that's my Thor. That's what I always envisioned when I would read the comics. And I was like, oh my God, there he is. And Loki looked, the two of them together, like the scenes down when they're having the, you know, conversation, like, oh, you know, something, whatever must have happened for you to come down here and trust me. I just butchered that horribly because it's such a fantastic line, but you know what I mean. They have the exchange down there and they're so intense. And I was like, oh, this is what I live for.
Yep. Mm. Yep. And the cloak that he's wearing, like along, like over.
Oh, I know.
Over his normal stuff. I'm just like, I wish I could wear literally anything as well as he wears that.
He's in a gray sack.
Like he is almost literally in a burlap sack and mm-hmm. making it look phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 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 All right. Well, I think we're ready to wrap, right?
I'm good.
Sure.
Anybody else? Fun. All right.
I've had all my
this
water.
This was fun.
Getting me as well. Thirsty. Oh, my water's gone. Parched.
All right. Well, guys, we'll be back really soon. Anything you guys want to tell people about?
Check out Bingers. We finished up the Oscar stuff. So if you were interested in any of those movies. And then we have the two Dune movies on there that we're covering. And we're covering David Lynch's 1984 on Bingers this week. So that should be out within the next week or two. So, yeah, if you're not Duned out yet, Dune in, as Jay Scotty would say.
Oh, man. Did Jay Scotty say that? That's good.
I couldn't take credit for that.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were saying as Jay Scotty would say, as in, like, I made this joke and it's a Jay Scotty joke. Or like,
no, but doesn't it be perfect if good. It was?
Oh, it definitely great. Is. Definitely is. Dune in, everybody. But yeah, so that's Bingers Assemble, everywhere you get podcasts. And yeah, check out Multiverse News as well. That's our weekly show where we do news and stuff. And there's some cool, what we do news on this next episode, there's some like rumors and stuff that may solidify that we might talk about on the next episode of this podcast. And we'll be talking about them over on Multiverse News too, but also all the other news out there in the Geekyverse. So check those shows out.
Yeah, like how about that showrunner got canned.
Oh, Marvel yeah. We have
fired
we,
that guy so hard.
Yeah, we will be talking about it next week. Yeah.
And the internet is still quiet about what it is. I am so interested. Spill the tea, somebody. Exclusive.
Just to be clear, they fired the showrunner of X-Men 97 right before it's about to drop. So it feels very pointed and weird. And they haven't said anything about why. So yeah, we'll find out.
Like right before the first season is about to drop. And he's worked on two of them.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Pretty wild.
Erased him, right?
And yeah, and his Instagram is gone.
Gone.
Oof, man. All right.
It was somebody. I need a wellness check for Bo DeMeo.
Oh, yeah, no.
That's crazy. We'll probably find something out eventually.
Yeah. And but also next weekend, the 23rd.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing our next episode of Legends and Libations on twitch.tv/StrandedPandaTV. We are going to be talking about the vernal equinox.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sweet.
The coming of spring.
Love it. They'll be doing that. And so check out that, the 23rd. What time again?
4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, yeah. Sweet. Well, check that out. We'll be back here on the MCU Cast in a few days with lots of news and feedback and such. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.